Are you looking for answers to the unknown? Welcome to Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix and step into the magical presence of the metaphysical realm. Lisa will share the wisdom and musings from her own experiences, have intriguing conversations with other mediums and healers, in addition to exploring a wide array of topics and teachings on intuitive and mediumship development. Lisa will be taking your calls and inviting your friends and loved ones in the spirit world to share their stories with us. Raise your awareness as you are reunited on the level of love, and let's go live with medium Lisa Phoenix.
Buddy, happy Sunday. It's another wonderful day in Southern California. Welcome to Live with Lisa Phoenix Radio. I'm Lisa Phoenix, your host, a medium and energy intuitive. My show is all about healing, mediumship, and energy management. And my special guest this morning is none other than Tracy Dunblazer, spiritual empath and teacher. We're going to talk about a variety of topics this morning. And if you want to share some of your own challenges or ask questions about your specific journey, please go to my Facebook page and post your questions, and we'll do our best to address them while we're on the air. If you want further information about the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show, please visit my website, lisaphoenix.net. That's lisaphoenix.net, or email me directly at info@lisaphoenix.net. I would love it if you would once again go to my website and sign up for my Intuitive Insights newsletter, which will also add you to my mailing list. And please like me on Facebook. Now let's talk about Tracy. Tracy Dunblazer, spiritual empath, shaman, educator, and spiritual counselor, is based in Los Angeles, California. Tracy specializes in grief counseling, energy dynamics, intuitive counseling, shamanic healing, space clearings, past life regression, soul recovery, and transition strategy. In 2005, Tracy founded It's Time to offer resources, education, and strategies for other practitioners, as well as those just embarking on their spiritual path. Tracy's website is www.tracydunblazer.com. That's TracyDunblazer.com, which I suggest you visit and get a better picture of what this amazing woman is all about. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Lisa.
You know, I didn't add author to that.
Oh my God. Well, that's, you know, it is still new.
Yeah, but we might as well top it off with, tell us what's going on with your books.
Well, the Demon Slayer's Handbook series is a series that basically helps people to break down some of those subjects or topics that people don't really, they're afraid of. I talk about demons and otherworldly beings, spirit guides, past lives, addiction, mental illness, all of those things from a spiritual perspective, so that you can learn to address those parts of yourself with an open mind, an open heart, and through joy.
Gotcha.
So everything's going really well. BeASlayer.com is the website that people can go to get the book now.
Perfect.
She's getting a new hairdo, so I'm.
Oh.
Yes. So I'm changing the book cover a little bit, so people can expect a little bit of a different look coming up in the next few months, which I'm really excited about. But one of the things I really wanted to talk to you today about is soul patterning.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
Right? No, yeah. That deals with, you know, the idea of the Akashic Records,
right,
which is the part of your spirit that contains every experience your soul has had. And then also addressing the idea of past lives, why we do what we do, why we attract what we do, and then how to make those changes with ourself to get a different result in our world and in our relationships.
Yes. And you know, I do believe we're in the midst of a retrograde right now, if
yes,
I remember correctly. And again, I've been finding a lot more and more people, maybe not in the way we described it, but kind of dealing with some of these issues.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think that we have 5 planets in retrograde for at least a few months, at least 3 months, if not more. But some of them will go all the way through next year. So basically, a planet in retrograde, we should tell your fans. That,
Tell
the folks that a retrograde planet just means that it is, like for Mercury retrograde, it's the appearance of the planet moving backwards in its orbit.
Right.
And what that means for you is that energetically, things are going to appear backwards or they're going to slow down immensely. And the good news, other than Mercury, all of the other planets, it's actually good because it allows you space to be introspective and reflective on yourself and the particular dynamics that the planet represents.
Exactly.
So now is a great time to do inner work, to do, get your home altar set up, and really start digging into some of these dynamics that you have going on that you don't want to have going on like they are any further.
Yeah. And, you know, I also think that's a great way to put it because, you know, most of the people I hear talking about Mercury retrograde, they're like, oh, there's another one
right,
coming.
Right. Right. It's kind of like right now my phone system, my internet, everything is just off the charts wonky. And here's the good news. If your phone's not working and you're not getting that phone call, then maybe you don't need to have that phone call.
Right.
Maybe it's giving you time to reflect on what you want to say on that phone call or do in that whatever you're going to promote or present, that you can change it so that it's more effective.
Yes, I completely.
Right? And that you get the results you want.
Yes, I completely agree. Now, Tracy, let's go back to the soul patterning and discuss because can you just give us an overview first so that people who may not understand?
Sure. So the blanket term for me is your soul history. Everybody
okay.
has a soul history. Your soul comes in with particular imprints that generate and attract your perception of life, right? It attracted your parents. It attracts the things that happen around you. But that doesn't mean that it controls you. And that's the thing that because we begin with it being completely unconscious, we don't necessarily recognize it as something that A, is the core center of our power, and
right.
B, that we oftentimes feel victimized by our soul patterns until we recognize the power in them to generate a new outcome.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I want to talk about the different ways that you can access your soul history. And then again, more about different life situations where a soul pattern can come into play.
Exactly. So let's talk about the first thing first that you see how you can access your soul pattern.
Okay. So there's a lot of different ways that you can access your soul history. And that is to take an overview of the types of things that you're attracted to. Like looking at, say, the culture that you were born into. The Demon Slayer's Handbook series, my second book addresses the idea of reincarnation and soul mm-hmm. patterning. And through my own past lives, I break down, what were my past lives and why did I, for me in relationships, like why did I meet the kind of men that I was interested in and what attracted to me to them and what made them familiar to me, therefore comfortable.
Right.
Right. And so taking an inventory of, if you are born in a particular culture or community, but you're really attracted to another one and you have no biological relationship to that culture.
Like me, I'm very attracted to the Japanese culture.
Right.
And
exactly.
I'm not Japanese.
Exactly. No, and that's huge. And there are, millions of people out there. I think consciously the millennials are really the group of folk right now who really know that consciously, that they are really embracing of the things they're attracted to that aren't necessarily where they come from in this lifetime. So this is a topic that I think is really important for them.
Okay.
If you're attracted to the Japanese culture, that's an indication that you have some sort of soul history being Japanese or related to the Japanese culture. And so the more you indulge yourself in being attracted to that and learning about it, acknowledging it, embracing it, the more you get toward you, the more you move yourself towards those images, the more your own personal soul images are going to come up in your consciousness for review.
Gotcha. Now, Tracy, I want to throw one thing at you here.
Sure.
How does a person look at this who doesn't necessarily believe in reincarnation and past lives?
Well, that's why I have now labeled it soul history.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, as far as accessing, because you talked about looking at your, you know, your past lives and stuff.
Right. And so when everybody has a soul history and some patterns that are some spiritual dynamics that are going on that are affecting their lives. And we get those through these imprints that we have on our spirit, which is the way we perceive our life through. The lens that we look at our life through. And whether or not you believe in past lives, it's okay to recognize that you have soul imprints that align you with certain other ideas, cultures, religions, spirituality, sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. All of those things are related to how our spirit addresses our biological world.
Gotcha.
Right?
So, yes.
A man who is born a man, but feels like he is a woman, you know, that's not a coincidence. There are spiritual implications for him that are going on that he's come in this lifetime to reconcile through his conscious choice, right? So if he decides to, you know, that realizes he's a she and then moves forward in addressing his life through a feminine lens, right? And becomes a her.
Right.
Right. That's a spiritual choice. There are a lot of physical world obstacles that he has to overcome in order to make that conscious choice and therefore change his perception of life.
Perfect. Okay. Everyone stay tuned. My special guest, Tracy Dunblazer. You're listening to Lisa Phoenix Live. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on OM Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Medium Lisa Phoenix and Tracy Dunblazer, spiritual empath. Tracy, we're talking about soul patterning.
Yes.
And we were actually talking for a minute about how people can look at this who don't necessarily believe in reincarnation. And you've given us a brilliant way to do that. So let's move forward and maybe talk about, I don't know, do you want to talk about some examples and how this comes to play in life?
Definitely. So just to recap, if you don't believe in reincarnation, then you, the way that you can look at to explain your soul patterns is to understand that your spirit has been downloaded with certain imprints that tell you things about yourself and put you in a position to be attracted to things that aren't necessarily of your biology or of your culture or of your, you know, the places where you live. Like there are things that normally you're not connected to, but you have an attraction to. And you had stated that you have a real connection with the Japanese culture, but you're not Japanese.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is the way to explain that. Like, no, I don't care who you are, you have that. You have connections to other things other than where you grew up, how you grew up, what you want, where you're at, all of that. So this is a way to explain that. Now, how that can show up in your life, right? Usually our soul patterns, we notice them because it's the places in our lives that we feel the least powerful. Mm. Okay? All of this is about our inner power struggle, and then ultimately our outer power struggle, right? In the United States, it's, you know, Democrat and Republican right now is a real power struggle about social ideology.
Exactly.
Right? So that's one of the ways that we express these soul patterns.
Gotcha.
Right? A person who isn't necessarily socialist, but would be considered to be called socialist today because they believe in Social Security and other programs that we have to help people get on their feet or to find more balance in their life, right?
Gotcha, yes.
There's a whole group of people who say, you know, I'm not going to pay for you to get medical care and I'm not going to pay for you to do X, Y, and Z. You need to learn to take care of yourself.
Right. Right?
And the person who has whatever belief position they take, there's a reason why they have that and why they perceive it so vehemently, right? When we look at something and we see it only one way, we think we are right.
Yes, we do.
Right?
In a major way.
Right. So when you look at the things in your life that, you know what, you're just right and this is how it is.
Right.
And maybe that is in conflict with your family or yourself, your inner conflict, or your relationships.
Or your coworkers, or whatever it may be.
Or your coworkers, absolutely. The workplace is one of the most common, because people spend, you know, 30 to 40 hours a week, if not more, if not 60, in their workplace. And those relationships become familial relationships because we almost spend more time with them than we do our families.
Exactly. It's like a marriage.
It's exactly like a marriage. And on some level, you've chosen it. And then on other levels, you don't think you've chosen it at all.
Right.
Right? And when you don't feel like you've chosen it and you feel victimized by it, that's when you go, oh, there's got to be a soul pattern at work here. If I'm having an interaction with a coworker and we are always in conflict, there's a soul pattern that is at the foundation of that relationship.
Right. And also, yeah. And it's because, and that's another, all you need to do is look, like, just let's just say it's a person. Okay. I'm just using a person as an example. And you kind of look at the certain type of person and how your dynamic with them is.
Yep.
It's kind of like if you look back in your life, more times than not, you will see with different people the same dynamic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, and when we talk about a spiritual dynamic, we're also talking usually about an emotional dynamic. And a dynamic means the way in which we interact naturally with that person.
Right.
Like I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and my natural, like when I hear her speak, she naturally, I don't trust her.
Gotcha.
I feel like she's lying to me. And when I think about it, I'm like, okay, well, she's not in a position to hurt me in any way. So what is it that feels inauthentic with her? What feels inaccurate with what she's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when I posed that to her, I said, look, I want to tell you this, you know, I don't think you're a liar, but I think you're lying to me because you're lying to yourself about X.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she was like, oh, that's interesting. And so we went back and forth. And then we eventually evolved the conversation into one of her self-acceptance of the things that she wasn't feeling honest with herself about.
Gotcha.
And when we entered into that discussion, there was no conflict for either of us. It was a peaceful discussion. And the timbre of her voice changed by the end of it.
Mm.
People oftentimes, when you have something in your unconscious that doesn't match with the words you're using, your voice timbre goes up. It goes in higher octaves. People,
right.
When they're lying, they will speak in a higher voice.
Right.
Right. And so throughout our conversation, we went from her speaking in a really high voice to then her going, yes, no, this is it. This is how I feel. This is what's going on. And it makes me really sad.
Right.
Usually at the end of it, there's always a grief response to the recognition of a soul pattern. That's how you know you got to it.
Mm.
Because there's an emotional relationship to grief or sadness or anger, right? But there's an emotional response to the recognition of whatever your truth is. Your truth may not be somebody else's truth, but that doesn't matter. Their truth doesn't matter. Only your truth matters.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So, yes.
That's one of the ways that... The other thing that I think we're going to talk about a little later, because it's so integral to this subject, is the idea of setting boundaries.
Right.
And setting boundaries with other people with unconditional love and kindness. You know, being firm on your boundary, but being loving about it.
Exactly. And I do know, I mean, people sometimes find that that's not such an easy thing to do.
No, it's awful. At the beginning, it is just awful. Oh my God. Sometimes you just want to rip somebody's head off, you know, and, you know, if that worked all the time, that would be great. But it just for 90% of situations or circumstances, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
Because the minute you escalate your emotion to anger or frustration or, the idea of diminishing another person so that you can acknowledge your righteousness. And that's one of the things that people do in defense of being called out on something is they want to turn it around on you and make it seem like you're the problem. You're the one that's wrong.
Exactly.
I didn't do anything here. You did it.
And that's why going back to what you said, it's about your truth and your perception and not the other person's because, and that would go back to the beginning of the conversation when we were talking about transforming these things. It's about your power. Do you know what I mean? And stepping into your power.
Absolutely.
And I think more times than not, when people are in these patterns, they really do feel as though it's out of their control.
Right. Right. And that's a really great point because they feel like they're out of control because their goal is somehow to turn the other person in alignment with them, to get them to agree to what, you know, if I'm trying to get you to agree with what I'm saying and make keep the relationship and make it peaceful.
Right.
And, you know, on the low end of this, sometimes we're in a spiritual energetic dynamic with somebody where keeping the relationship intact is not the purpose. Resolving the relationship in peace is the purpose.
Exactly. And I think that can really affect people, especially like when you're in a work situation or a family situation, you know, where, you know, the status quo has always been to fix the relationship.
Right. And people are afraid to set boundaries because they're afraid they're going to lose the relationship. And you know what? They might. But there's a whole difference of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Right?
Right.
Cutting off the relationship in order to achieve control and dominance. But that keeps the person, whether or not that person is in your life, it keeps you bound to these same unconscious patterns that at the end of the day, you die alone with you.
And exactly.
You take that with you or not.
No, exactly. And again, I want to go to the whole family dynamic here, because yeah. you see a lot of times in these kind of things that, you know, you'll have people playing it out in different ways, whether it's like they play it out like in their body where they gain and lose weight. Do you know what yeah. I mean? And
yeah.
just trying to work through, you know, and that kind of struggle between when they don't realize that it's not necessarily to fix it.
Right. Well, you know, it is to fix the relationship, but it's not necessarily to keep it.
Right. right.
Your goal to resolve the dynamic is so that both parties can part ways amicably.
Right. But Tracy, honestly, sometimes that doesn't always happen.
No, it doesn't. But if an individual can, it is your own personal conflict that keeps you up at night.
That's what I'm saying. So right. in other words, if you're going into a dynamic, you can do what you feel led to do as far as like do your own work. Like they say, keep your own side of the street clean.
Yeah.
But you can't control how that other person, but you can resolve it. Do you know what I
yes.
mean? Within your own self.
You are absolutely
no matter
right.
how they respond. Is that, that's
yes.
what I'm trying to get at.
No, that's no, that you spoke it beautifully. You can't control how the other person is going to react. But if at the end of the day, you're at peace with what you've done and how you've done it, then you let go of the relationship and therefore you don't have to deal with their conflict about it.
Exactly. So no matter how it ended, you can walk away with your side of the street clean. I'm just, that's such a, it's such a, you know, everybody knows that saying. So
right.
that's why I'm using it.
No, it's the foundation of it, is mm-hmm. you learning how to be at peace with yourself.
Right, right. And I and even oops, we're coming to another commercial break. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Tracy Dunblazer. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, spiritual empath, Tracy Dunblazer. Tracy.
Yes.
So, why don't we talk about boundaries?
Okay. So, the first thing that you have to look at when you're looking to set a boundary with somebody mm-hmm. is to what is at the core, like what is it you're looking to have happen? So the easy ones are when you're dealing with abusive people, whether they're emotionally abusive or physically abusive, is you're looking to set a boundary to say, you know what, I am no longer the one for you to treat that way. Mm-hmm. I am no longer the one for you to speak to that way, right?
Right.
And that's an internal boundary. I just will not be victimized by you no matter what you do, right? So the first thing that you have to do is to look at where you feel a lack of power or a sense of vulnerability with somebody, and then look to shore up that part of yourself, right? You can't really set an effective boundary unless you're committed to it. Right. One of the things that we talk a lot about today in our culture is domestic violence.
Right.
And, you know, I can't really shoot off any statistics about it, but a lot of men and women, but predominantly women who get involved with abusive men, oftentimes those men, sometimes they kill those women. And the goal here is to not blame the woman, right, for not being able to set an effective boundary with her partner, but to more deeply look at your commitment of no longer being victimized by another person, right?
Yes.
People who have been victimized, they've been raped, they've been, you know, molested as a child, they have internal power issues, rightfully so. When they have fully looked at that power struggle and fully forgiven themselves and ultimately forgiven their abuser, it puts them in a whole other level of power and peace with saying no to certain things.
Gotcha.
And in order to have achieved that, one has to, if you've been victimized, you have to do the work that's necessary to find, to grieve your loss, to grieve the way it was, to also grieve the way it wasn't, right? How many people have at some point in their life felt, you know, I just wish I had different parents. You know, my parents weren't the best parents for the kind of person that I am. And my parents were mean to me, or they were unkind, or they weren't equipped to deal with a set of issues, right? People have to forgive themselves and grieve the loss of the thing they just never had and they're never going to have.
Right.
Right? My parents are who they are and they're not going to change, but I can change myself in that. I can change my relationship to that. That doesn't mean that we condone some of the bad behavior or sometimes the, you know, illegal behavior that parents do, but we can forgive ourselves and forgive them enough to stop being victimized by their pattern.
Exactly. And Tracy, I think sometimes people get stuck there because on the one hand, you know, they can say sometimes that, you know, their parents weren't equipped or this or that and the next thing. But on the other side, they're also blaming their parents instead of, and again, in that point, it seems like the forgiveness part gets kind of lost somewhere. Do you know?
Yes.
And it's kind of what you said was right, that they have to forgive themselves.
Right. Right. And I think a lot of people think that forgiveness means condoning a behavior.
Right.
That doesn't mean that what they did was okay. It just means that it was all that they could do and I forgive them for it and I grieve my loss.
Exactly.
By grieving, I let go of what they did and then open up to not ever participating in that kind of dynamic in that way ever again.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I think it's so important, too, that when we turn that to ourselves as well, it's the same thing about forgiving yourself in a particular situation where critic voice comes on and everything. And it's just about accepting the fact that you did all you could do in that moment.
Right.
you know. Well,
you did the best that you could do. You couldn't, you didn't know enough to make the change that you needed to.
Exactly.
In the time that you had to deal with that.
Exactly. You
know, sometimes when we have eliminated people from our life and we're still in pain, it's because our spirit wants us to look at not only what we did, but going forward, what we now can do.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
We can't control what other people are going to do, but we can always control what we're going to do.
Right. And you know what? When you don't forgive yourself and you keep criticizing yourself and whatever, it's almost kind of, in a way, it's kind of ridiculous because, you know, it will come around again and you'll get another shot at practicing.
Exactly. And why we know that is just say, yes, it's going to come around again. So be prepared.
No. Yeah. And you get another chance to practice and maybe do it in a different way.
And exactly what you just said is what a life pattern is. You know, let's say if you're a person who continues to get into relationships with people, you know, an empath getting into a relationship with a sociopath or a narcissist, right?
Right.
Understand that the setting boundaries is not just about taking an action. It's also about remedying the soul pattern or your soul history, but changing your emotional dynamic. Right? You have to set a boundary emotionally before you feel prepared and strong enough to set that boundary in the physical world.
Gotcha.
Right?
That makes sense, yes.
And so that's the thing that's like, I had a conversation with somebody and she was saying, you know, I always fall in love with guys like that. And, you know that every single time she did and then got the same result and was like, ah, damn, I should have, right? But then when it comes around again, we go, oh, okay, oh, he loves me and I love him and it's going to be great. Right. And then like, ah, oh, dang, there it is again.
Right. But I also think just throwing this in there too, at times, like say, let's use that as the example, as you work through your pattern, sometimes it still happens, but it gets subtler and subtler. Absolutely. And then you're like, oh no, I ended up there again.
You know? Right. Because understand your patterns, when you start out in this world, in this life, your patterns are unconscious. You don't necessarily know about them in your cognizant mind, your intellectual mind. You know about them spiritually and emotionally based on what you're attracted to and what is comfortable and familiar for you. What is comfortable and familiar may not be good.
Exactly.
Right? And so the first, say, 5 to 10 times, it takes a person at least 5 exposures to the same information in order to hear it or see it for the first time. So that means, you know, Sally has been through 5 really bad relationships and maybe they were a month long, 2 months, 6 months, you know, a year, 2 years, but every relationship, she becomes more and more clear that there's a pattern at work. And by the 5th time, she's like, ah, dang, she sees it now.
Right.
And it may be strong, but then the 6 through 10 times she goes through it, it gets subtler and subtler because each time, if she is willing to be reflective or he is willing to be reflective on what happened, what you did and what the other person did, and then reworking that in your mind, what do you want to do? It's okay that you got snagged, you know, 6 times. But by the 6th time, it's really important to do an inventory on what happened and why it happened and why you participated in the way you did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the point at which when you start doing that work, you could say, okay, next time I'm going to inquire more. I'm going to look at this more deeply. I'm going to, you know, not trust somebody at first glance. You know, I'm going to be willing to really look at somebody and go, okay, well, those things I can do, but those things are deal breakers for me. Right. And therefore limit how you participate.
Exactly. And when you do start to become aware, like I have a client who, is in a dynamic at her job. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, she realized about herself that one of the reasons that she participated, I guess was because when she was growing up, there was a lot of conflict.
Right.
And so she was always trying to fix. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying right. this right, but.
Well, no, that saying it that way is perfect because she was so used to dealing with conflict, that was comfortable and familiar. It wasn't right, but it was comfortable and familiar. That was the dynamic. That was the conflict was what she was attracted to because she knew what to do. She had a strategy in that.
Well, because she was always trying to fix it, to make it right. so there wasn't conflict and to right. make everybody happy and to, yeah. And then right. it's kind of like she realized she would sacrifice parts of her own emotional well-being in order to do that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I'm bringing this up because I wanted to maybe give you to give some examples. I understand domestic violence, but maybe some of the more day-to-day things. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, there's always, there's always a gender dynamic, you know,
yes.
male to female, or two females in power or two males in power, right?
Right.
The dominant and the submissive, right? There's always that dynamic. So, you know, you might have an issue with a boss who
right.
feels superior and you feel inferior when you're naturally around them,
mm-hmm.
right? And you don't feel like you're smart enough, strong enough, or enough in general to be able to say, no, that's not accurate. That's not what's happening and that's not who I am and that's not what I'm going to participate with.
Right.
Right. So we'll take your client, for example. So a person in that position who the strategy that they have chosen is to always try to remedy the conflict by being submissive to it and sacrificing parts of themselves to do it. What that person now is going to have to do is say, you know what? That's too big of a sacrifice.
Right.
I'm no longer going to sacrifice a part of myself so that you can feel righteous. Right?
Exactly. And we're coming up to another commercial break. Tracy, stay with us, everybody. You're listening to Medium Lisa Phoenix and spiritual empath Tracy Dunblazer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Are you wondering what is really going on behind the news? Check it out. Join your hosts, Cielito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland on Share on the Air Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. You can also find us on shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. Check it out.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Tracy Dunblazer. Now, Tracy, we were talking a minute ago about my client, and let's take this because, she would always say to me, well, you know, there are certain things I'm not allowed to do and not allowed to say and da 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 da. But, you know, the bottom line is it's like sometimes the best thing you can do as far as dealing with a situation like that where there's all that is just not to volunteer information.
Right. But the point of speaking at any time is for the person to reflect on what would be a better or more effective way to get their point across.
Right.
Right. Meaning if for me, I've had relationships with people where I had to literally go for a month without avoiding the conversation, not having the conversation and role playing with my friends to get it right. Because always in this dynamic with this person, he always, the one line he always had for me is like, I'm sorry you feel how you feel, but I can't control how you feel.
Right.
Right. And so finally, after, you know, a month long of role playing with different people, I finally was brave enough to say, okay, this is not about how I feel. This is about what you did and that I'm not going to have that in my life.
Exactly.
It's very simple, right?
Exactly.
But it took me, because for 5 years I always said, but you know, you always make me feel like blah, blah, blah. Right. And the minute I would say, you make me feel.
Right.
And I was like, what? That's the turnaround phrase that always takes me down the bad path.
Right.
I think that the bottom line is, and this is what I would really like for people to take away from this conversation today, is what can you do today to take you more deeply into understanding your soul history? And the first thing, right, that we're addressing here with your client is about how you feel.
Right.
Right. Look to your emotions and your feelings to dictate to you what kind of dynamic you have going on.
Right.
I always feel powerless. I always feel angry. I always feel hurt, right? Those are ways that we feel. And if we can begin to just acknowledge the emotion, name five emotions. The first thing you should do if you think you might have a soul pattern going on is say to yourself, what are the five things that I feel over and over again in this relationship? And what I would do if I were folk out there is I would set up an altar in my home and light a candle and get a glass of water and write down those five feelings that I have over and over with that person. And I'd put it on the altar and light that candle and let that begin to generate the new images in my subconscious self, in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, to bring up to me all the places in my life outside of that relationship that I may have experienced that same feeling.
Gotcha.
Right? Because when you can start saying it's not just, you know, me and Bob here, it's, you know, me and Sally, me and Jenny, me and Mom, me and Dad, me, you know.
Exactly.
Right?
When you can start. Yeah, because it's usually not the person you're dealing with.
Right. It's the dynamic. It's
right.
you do this and they do that.
But I didn't get this. So if I didn't get it, I know some of the listeners out there. So you set a candle and a bowl of water?
Yes.
And so, do you stick the words in the water?
No, you just write the words on a piece of paper.
Right.
And I always use jar candles. I never use an open flame. And I take that list of emotions and I put it directly under the candle.
And under the candle.
Under the candle.
Gotcha.
Right. And the water at the end, when the candle is burnt down, is usually when you've been able to come to it's going to, for the time that it takes the candle to burn all the way down, is the time that your spirit is beginning to open up to that new information. And by the end of the ritual, you take the water and you can throw it in your garden or in a house plant or down the toilet.
Gotcha.
Right? The idea is you're going to flush it away forever and ever because it's taking all of that old energy and old dynamic and using it to nurture another life, which is a plant, or you're putting it in the sewage system.
Gotcha.
Right? And so that's the simplest altar that you can do, and it's really effective.
So do these altars that you're talking about, is this something where you'd use like a little tiny candle so you could do it in one sitting, or do you use a big candle and go back and forth to it?
I always go for the 3-day jar candle.
3-day.
Yeah, they're little jar candles. You can get them at the grocery store or your local New Age store.
Right, right. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And then, and if you're dealing with a larger life pattern, you can go for the 7-day.
Gotcha.
Right? Just whatever. If it's just a simple thing that you're having an issue, say, with a coworker, light that 3-day candle and really say, okay, what next? You know, I know that I can't do what I've always done because that doesn't work. I can't react the way I've always reacted to what they do. So what is new for me? What can I do here?
Right.
Right. And then that creates a space for that energy and that new information to come to you to then do something different. And we can always do something different once we understand why we're doing it in the first place.
Exactly. And I think that's another thing that, you know, you started to talk about when we started this, was talking about that people should just take the time to figure out, I mean, to sit with what's going on in the different patterns, whether it's a family pattern, whether it's a relational, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whether it's a coworker.
Right.
That people should take the time. And you said, start out doing the 5 emotions. What comes next?
Well, once you've done that, if you can recognize that it's a larger pattern, then you can go, let's say your client does this and she finds that it's actually based on a relationship that she had with her parents, or he had with his parents.
Right.
Then he can do a new candle that says, okay, what do I need to know? What do I need to grieve about my relationship with my parents? What do I need to let go of? And now how do I need to adjust my thinking about my power in that situation? People have, situations when they were children and say the parents were fighting, and that 5-year-old child had no power. So it's natural for them to be triggered into feeling powerless again, even though they're older, in a coworker situation where the coworker doesn't necessarily have any power over them at all.
Right.
But they feel powerless because they're going back to the 5-year-old who in fact had no power. And so whatever information comes to you and it leads you back to oftentimes events or situations or dynamics, then you can say, okay, I forgive the 5-year-old for not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to make a new agreement with my inner 5-year-old that I'm going to take care of them and that they can grow up. They're safe to grow up now and be powerful. Right?
Gotcha.
It's giving that part of yourself permission to be resolved and not remain in a powerless position.
Gotcha.
Right?
That's perfect.
And then once that's resolved in you, the next step is, okay, well, what do I do with this coworker? What do I do when they say X, right? And I had a recent situation where I was doing business with this person and they're providing a service to me, but it's just stressful because they're always stressed and they're always defensive. If you say, okay, I need this, not this. And they say, well, that's great because, you know, this person in my life kept taking it personally when I just wanted something different.
Mm.
And finally I said, look, I'm not going to have you speak to me in the way that you do. I understand that you're stressed. And I want you to know this is not about you or your work. Your work is amazing, which is why I'm hiring you. But I'm not going to have you speak to me that way anymore. If you want to not do this job, then you can let me know that. Or mm-hmm. we can figure out a new way to do this. And she was stunned when I said that to her. But she mm-hmm. looked at me. She kind of, you know, wriggled a little bit in her seat. And then she readjusted. And then she apologized and said, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I have this go on all the time with clients. And I said, okay, but I'm not them. And I'm sorry
right.
I have to go through that because that's hard. But how can, you know, in this situation, let's stay present. This is what I need from you. And this is why I need it. And none of that has to do with your work.
Exactly.
And then she's like, okay. And we moved on and it was good. You know, and that's the whole point is to present the idea to somebody where you acknowledge them fully but you also are very clear, I'm not going to do that. And you can either get out or you can readjust and we can move forward. Which would you like to do? You're in control here. What would you like? Right? And when you put a person in that position to acknowledge them fully, people oftentimes are defensive because they don't get acknowledged or don't feel acknowledged.
Right.
Right? So in my case, she needed to be acknowledged and I did that for her. I wanted to do that for her because I like her work. You know, and it shifted her, it shifted the kind of conversation we could then have, and we got out of that stuck place of, you know, she said this and I felt this and did this.
Yes.
It eliminated that completely and opened up a whole other conversation, which led us right out of the dynamic we were in, and we were able to resolve it completely.
Perfect. Now, Tracy, we're running out of time here. Do you have anything coming up or anything you want to tell people about?
Well, if you're a New Age retailer, I'm going to be at the International New Age Trade Show in Denver in June.
Awesome.
And, I'll be selling the book and presenting the new marketing strategy for the book. I'm very excited about it. And you can go to beaslayer.com and pick up a copy of the book. The copies that are available right now are going to be collector's items because they are the first original edition and they're going to be the old presentation with the old cover. So you can get those now. And if you come to me directly, I can send you a signed copy. That's
great.
What's happening.
Tracy, thanks so much for being on the show this morning. And thanks for helping all of us expand our awareness more and more, as you always do. As I mentioned earlier to all of you out in Radioland, please visit Tracy's website at tracydunplazer.com. That's TracyDunPlazer.com. Thank you all for hanging out with us this morning. Further information about Live with Lisa Phoenix, go to my website, lisaphoenix.net. That's LISAPHOENIX.net. And Live with Lisa Phoenix is on every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 10 a.m. Pacific. So please tune back in with us next week.